these folks want to come and praise the Lord and share it with us. The more I get to know Ricky, the more I love this young man. And he's an entertainer. I'm telling you, last night, this man sung his heart. I mean, it was just any kind of venue you want, any type of music you wanted, he's singing. Because he's an entertainer. These people pay to see him, so he does the old music, he does country music, he does romantic music, but he never, ever, any concert that I've ever seen, no matter what the venue is, no matter where he's at, he closes the service with some type of a message of a gospel song that reaches out to those people. Because he wants this crowd to know, after we get past the Johnny B. Goods and all that, which I love that, he wants you to know really where his heart's at. And his heart is with Jesus. Now he's going to sing a song now for us, and then at the end of the service, he's going to close out our service with a song. So I know that you love him. You know whenever he's able to come into town once or twice a year, he tries to come back here and to share with us, and because he loves our little church and loves you guys. And Ricky, we love you, buddy. We thank you for what you do and for taking the opportunity to come and lead us in a time of worship. Come and do it, brother. Love you.
Thank you.
is it. All right.
I'm out of here.
Ricky had left the building.
With your wife.
It may be a good day after all. You ain't gonna get that over on me, people. Come on. Come on. All right. Well, we've started a new preaching series called All the Questions I've Been Asked Over the Years, 40 Years of Ministry, About a Place Called Heaven. I said in this venue, I'm going to put two questions up on the screen every week that I've been asked over the 40 years of my ministry about heaven. Now, as I said last week in the introduction of this, everybody has their beliefs about heaven, even though they may not be able to prove it necessarily scriptural-wise. Some people just seem to think that heaven is going to be whatever you enjoy down here in life. The Lord's going to let you enjoy it up there. Well, maybe so. I don't know. But everything that I'm going to talk to you about heaven in this series, we're going to back it up with Scripture. Now, I think it is fun to dream about what heaven's going to be like. Okay? But in reality, let's look at really what the Bible says about this place called heaven. We said last week, the question, is it a real place? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's real. All right? Now, here's question number one. What happens to a Christian, when they die? A lot of people talk about it. Got the old body in the casket. It's going in the ground. Right? True? It's where mine's going. Unless I'm here when Jesus comes back again, that's where mine's going. But I've got something else that's not going in that casket. And that's going in that grave. And it's called a soul. Let's look at it. All right, Larry. Luke 23, chapter 43. Jesus said, remember he had a person on the right hand and the left hand of him when he was dying on the cross. One just simply said, Jesus, will you remember me when you get to your home? And he said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, man's getting ready to die. Today. What's that say? Does that say today? Today, thou shalt be with me where?
In paradise.
In paradise. In heaven. It's going to be with Jesus. So, let's look at one more piece of scripture. And then we'll talk about it. All right, there you go. Now, Paul says this. But I would not have you ignorant, brother. In other words, I want to give you a piece of knowledge concerning them that fall asleep. And here's his term, fall asleep. Yet you sorrow not, even as the rest. You have no hope. Now, here's the deal. I have a body here. You have a body. This body is decaying as we look at it. I'm looking at a bunch of decaying people. Y'all are dying even as I'm looking at you right now. You understand that? I don't care. From the kids on up, from the time you're born, you are dying. That's just sort of how life is. Okay? Now, but the Bible tells me that I have a spirit within me called a soul.
That's right.
With me so far? When I accept Jesus Christ, his spirit entwines within my spirit inside of me. You with me? Inside of me. So now, when I die, I have a body that's dead, the heart stopped. They put me in a casket. There'd be a lot of people say a lot of nice things about me. Maybe not. I'm sure for a fee, house will come in and sing. But we're going to have a little funeral, and we're going to put the old man's body in the grave. And it's going to sleep. See it? It's pictures. That's a nice way of saying you're dead. But you're asleep. But at the moment I take that last breath, Jesus told him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. My soul will go to be with Jesus. From the moment I take my last breath, and my heart stops. Now this old body, it's going to have a role to play, and we're going to talk about that in this series. But for now, the body's in the grave. And one of these days, it's coming out of that grave, but again, that's another day. Now, my soul is going to go to be with Jesus. I will know I am in the presence of Jesus in paradise. Now, I may not quite have my heavenly body just yet. There's another question down the road. But I want you to know, from the moment, if you are a Christian and you are a child of God, from the moment you take that last breath, you will be with and in the presence of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, this next question, I've been asked, and some people say, well, I've never thought of this, but we're going to take a look at it, because I also like the journey. See, we're all on a journey. But even when we pass away, die, whatever politically correct word you want to use, there's a journey that takes place. Let's talk about this journey. This is neat. All right, Larry, here we go. Next question. When believers die, how do they get to heaven? How does their soul get there? You ever thought about that? I mean, do I just sort of wake up and I'm there? Or is there a journey? Or what? I like this question. It's been asked me several times. Alright? I'm going to heaven, but do I just wake up there? Or what's the journey like? Because believe me, with Jesus, everything's a journey. Let's take a look at it. Because you know this situation. Go ahead, Larry. Remember this story, don't you? And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried away by what?
The angels.
The angels. Into Abraham's bosom, which is a New Testament way of saying the presence of God. And the rich man died, and he was buried. Two different journeys. Tell you something, folks. There's only one or two ways when you take that last breath. There's only two terminals. One is on your way to hell, and the other one is on your way to heaven. Now, I want to promise you this. As I stand here before you, if you ever believe anything I ever tell you, believe me, there is no choice in these journeys. Now, here's what is neat about this. The angels are going to take me home. I can't wait for that ride. When I take that last breath, it may be an old body laying there somewhere, but I'm going to be in the And the angels are going to come and say, come on, preacher. We're going to take you to a place. And they're going to carry me, lead the way, surround me. Now here's the picture I want you to see about something. From the time that you accept Jesus Christ, Jesus will never, ever leave you alone. Even in death's door, even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will make sure that you are comforted on every level of your existence. And when that heart stops, does it mean you are alone? That's when this whole band of angels begin to come and say, come on, look at that old buddy. You ain't in there no more. Put that old thing down there. You don't hurt no more. Your back don't hurt. Your legs don't hurt. Your heart's going to be fine. Your kidneys are going to be fine. You may even look a little better when I get done with you. But you're going to leave it behind, and those days are no more. And they're going to lead us to where Jesus is at. What a journey. How long will it take me to get there? What kind of a journey will this be? I don't care. I don't care if it's a blink of an eye. But you see, at the time I take that last breath, I don't have a watch anymore. See, we all live by this lousy clock. We go to bed by it, we get up by it, we go to work by it. We live by that clock. At the moment I take my last breath, there is no more watch. There is no more clock. Do you get that? Can you imagine not having to live by your watch? But I tell you, Monica and I, or since Monica's retired, some of you would say I'm retired, but I'm still here. But it's amazing what you understand, that even when you're retired, you still live by that lousy clock. I mean, we're saying like we're busier now than we've ever been. So no matter whether you're young, old, whether you work for a living, whether you're retired, you still live by that clock, that watch. It dictates everything. I take all kinds of medicine just so that I can act decently. And I mean, Monica's got it down to a science, and I'm supposed to take it. She said, take this pill. I said, why? Because she said, in a half hour, you won't have no sense if you don't take it now. Ricky Hauser's coming in. Take it now. There's going to come a day, and I say this in all fun, and I do this a lot for Renee's sake, because we all know, you know, she's a pharmacist, you know, she knows her stuff, pharmacist of the year, and all she that kind of stuff. Very smart lady, but I'm not going to need none of them drugs. Renee's going to be out of business.
You took it out while you're here.
Demons come, it's a little different journey than when the angels come. difference between angels and demons is a cross called Calvary. That's the difference. That's the only difference. If you're going somewhere, for those who don't believe in heaven or hell, well, you're going to believe one day. You can talk all that nonsense you want, but these are both two real places. But understand this, the journey to both is totally different. But this journey to heaven, taken by angels, shows you how much God cares about you. That even at the moment of this journey, you are not by yourself. Jesus said, don't be afraid if you believe in me. If you believe in me, believe in what I say. I tell you the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he says, I am the way, this is what he means. When you die, there's going to be somebody who's going to bring you my way to where I'm at. And that's heaven. And you're coming. You're coming. You're coming. If you're a Christian, you're a heartbeat away from the journey. If you're not a Christian, you're a heartbeat away from another journey. And you don't want any part of that. And you don't have to be 80 or 90 to think about death. When we all get these automobiles out there, I say this week after week after week. Matter of fact, I got an email the other day. This lady says, how many times do you talk about when you get in the car, you're going to kill them back home? I said, oh, probably about 10,000 times. But that's the gospel truth. When I get in my automobile, I don't know whether I'm going to make home or not. There are some crazy drivers out here. Y'all know that? I'm looking at some of them.
We are too. I get a point.
You also get a walk home. Too at another time. What this kid drives, he drives a lot more when he drives. It can fit in the back of my Navigator. I mean, it's a little old thing. It's about this big. I run over these things and pick them out of the grill. Put them in a Mini Cooper. Boy, it's Mini, all right. But anyway, now don't get me all distracted on that kind of nonsense. All right? See, the older I get distracted easy, so don't do that to me now.
Take a
He thinks he's cute, don't he, too? That's right. But you love the preacher, don't you, sweetie? Don't let him. That's right. You're supposed to. Jesus, from that point on, you ain't never going to have to that anymore. Amen. If you want a different journey, give the Lord a hand of praise. Stand with you, please. With every head bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, Father, your spirit is in this place, my friend. number one, I pray for somebody here today that's lost, no matter what their age. The Father that has come forth and said, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I'm going to have a word of prayer with you, and I'm going to welcome you to the kingdom of God. But this wonderful heaven that we talk about is not anything you're going to experience unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Personally, you've invited him into your heart. We're going to give you that opportunity to do that. If you're watching me by internet today, find you a good church home. Find you a church where they preach Jesus. Get in there. And if you're lost, you go up to that minister and say, I want to be saved. But you don't even have to do it in church. You can be saved no matter where you're at. All you got to do is bow your heads and ask the Lord to forgive you and save you. And he will do that if you're in the middle of the woods, in a motel room, or no matter what you're doing. But if you are in church and you go forward, you take the preacher by the hand and you tell him that you want to know Jesus. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. We'd love to have you here at our church. Or maybe you just need a quiet time at this altar. You don't need nobody to pray with you. You just need a time by yourself with the Lord. We invite you to do that as well. And may God's amazing grace be with you. Father, bless these moments. We're thankful for your Spirit. And thankful for your grace. In Jesus' name. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you come? It blows my mind. what this young man can do. But when it's all said and done, this audience heard the gospel in the last song they sung. He's known for it. He's all over the internet because of this wonderful song that we all know very, very well. We're going to let him close out our service with it. I know that you will love it. Give Rick a hand of applause.
Well, he talked enough, so I want to talk now. I am just so humbled and so grateful and so thankful, and I consider myself very blessed to be here. And I thank each and every one of you for coming, especially those who don't regularly go to church here. Thank you so much for coming this morning. It's great to see you here. And I just wanted to give you a little background. This song is very, very special to me. It is my favorite song. I like a lot of music, okay? I like a lot of music. I like rap and hip hop. I like country music. I appreciate all music. I like country music. I like the good old, you know, classic standards, the rock and roll music and stuff. I love gospel music, obviously, and jazz and Broadway styles and, you know, classical, all kinds of stuff. I went to school for opera, so I consider myself very blessed to be versed in a lot of different styles of music that God has brought my way. However, when I started singing when I was 14 years old, my grandmother encouraged me, because I have always had a love for music that was popular back in, well, let's just say I was born about 60 years too late. And I've just always had an appreciation for music that was popular in the 1930s through the 70s, really. Just that whole time span. I just love the music, especially the 40s and 50s. And so, knowing that, my grandmother encouraged me to start going into nursing homes and sharing my love of that music with the residents there, because a lot of them could relate to that music. So I did, and of course at that time it was just a hobby. It was just something that I did for fun, and I actually didn't consider myself a singer. I didn't think that I could sing. I just thought, okay, I'll move in and have a good time with these residents and whatever. So and then I did that. I had a little, like, $50 karaoke machine, you know, that you get at Walmart, and a little plastic microphone. And had my CDs that would occasionally skip, whatever, but I would do these little shows in nursing homes. And I will never forget, the very first nursing home I did is called Donwell Manor in Bedford, Pennsylvania, where I'm from. I began singing, and I saw immediately the look on some of the people's faces, and it's like, there was this glaze over their eyes that all of a sudden that, like, lifted, and their whole attitude just lit up just because of music. And I'll never forget this one woman. I actually since then ended up singing at her funeral. She's passed away now, but the very first time I met her, she was in this wheelchair, and she actually wasn't there at the very beginning of the show, but I saw this woman come in. She was in this wheelchair. She came in halfway through the door, and all I saw was her sitting in this wheelchair, and her hands were going like this, and her feet were going like this. I think I was singing La Bamba or something like that. Some really upbeat song, you know, which I'm going to quote. And some really upbeat song. And she's just, you know, popping, popping. And I could tell she was trying to get someone's attention to get her further in the room. She couldn't get any further in the room, probably because she couldn't quit shaking. And so somebody finally wheeled her up, took her to the front, and that woman was ecstatic. Later on, I found that she was mute, she couldn't speak. She had so many things wrong with her. But music just transformed her into an entirely different person. And then I'll also never forget that I sang at another nursing home where there was a woman who, all she would do, she would sit in her wheelchair and she would go, la 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 la. That's all she could do. She couldn't talk. Or she could speak, but she didn't know how to speak words. She just spoke gibberish. And but when I would sing any hymn, she would sing the words as clear as you could ever hear. It was the most remarkable thing. But only hymns. Other music, she would sing, but it was just nonsense. But hymns, she would sing, "How Great Thou Art," just like that. I mean, that's a God thing. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But that just shows, that is proof for all of these people who need proof and find. front of their eyes. That's proof that God is with us. That's proof that God is here, because that is not explainable. You can't explain how that works, you know, with any, you know, science or whatever you want to say. I mean, because how do you separate, I mean, in the mind, those songs from other songs? They're both words, they're both songs, so what's the separation? God is the separation. And so, when I was about 16 years old, there was this huge singing competition, and of course, as I was saying, God didn't just spring, you know, the people on me overnight. Like, I, at that time, was just singing in nursing homes for fun, wasn't getting paid for it, I didn't have a job, fortunately I didn't need one at the time, I didn't need to be making my own money, but it wasn't something I did seriously, it was just something for fun on the side. But there was a singing competition in a local town near us, and a bigger town, and my mom said, you should try out for the singing competition, there's a lot of money at stake. I think it was like, you won $1,000 and a chance to be on the radio. So I said, okay, well, I'll check out for it. Now, there was hundreds of people that auditioned for this competition. You know, we had no expectations that I was going to get anywhere, you know, close. Long story short, I ended up winning that competition singing a song called How Great Thou Art. And ever since then, the song has just kind of really, it's been very special to me, because it's helped, that very song accomplished a lot for me. And I don't think that it was just because of my singing ability. I think that it was the song in itself. There's an anointing over that song. And I know that there's an anointing over me in my ministry because of the way that I've chosen to operate musically and how I like to minister in all of my ministry. But that being said, it's a very interesting thing that happened, because I used CDs. Back then, I was using CDs for my stuff. Now I use an iPad, but CDs sometimes skip. And I was in front of probably, at that competition, I'm going to say there was like maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people watching in the audience. It was an outdoor venue. And my CD, I sang the first verse and the second verse of How Great Thou Art, and then went into the chorus. And right before the chorus, my CD just started skipping, and then it went back to the beginning. So I sang it again, and then it did the same thing. It skipped and it went back to the beginning. So they shut the CD off, and I had to proceed in front of thousands of people, not planned, to sing the song completely a cappella. And I did that, and then God ended up blessing me with winning the competition. But it was just such a remarkable scenario and situation of how God kind of worked that. And you know, ultimately, there was a reason that he wanted me to sing that a cappella. I don't know, but it was just really interesting how this worked. But this song has such a background for me, and it's such a history for me, and it just means so much to me, and so I'd like to sing it for you now. Thank you.